Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These episodes come from a previous podcast channel that I used to have, Zayla Food. Zayla means soul, but in German. So soul food, but in German and English. I don't want to lose these episodes as I've dismantled Zayla Food and now have the Soulful Side of Life. These are still conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life and how they have overcome situations. I hope these episodes will inspire your life in some way. So enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life with Ali Portee. Yalda Hakim is a BBC World News presenter and correspondent, and she joined the show in 2012. She made her on-screen debut in March 2013, presenting a special three-part series of Our World entitled Iraq, 10 Years On. Before joining BBC World News, Yalda was the presenter of SBS Dateline in Australia. She has reported on Afghanistan's Kandahar province, Libya during the Arab Spring, and from the streets of Juba, South Sudan, as many celebrated the new country's independence, as well as on various issues from the Middle East, the US, Africa, and Europe. In 2012, Yalda was the first Western journalist to visit one of the villages in Afghanistan's Kandahar province, where US soldier Staff Sergeant Robert Bales is alleged to have shot and killed Afghan civilians. She has interviewed the former president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, traveling with him to Pakistan for talks with former president Asif Ali Zardari and Iran's former leader Mahmoud Ahmadinejad about peace in the region. She was also on the ground in Libya as the people fought for freedom from Gaddafi's rule and reported on the resulting refugee crisis in Tunisia as thousands fled the conflict. Yalda was born in Afghanistan and moved to Australia in the late 1980s after her father fled Kabul with his family when the Russians invaded. She began her career as a cadet journalist at SBS's World News Australia. She filmed her first story for Dateline in 2008 called Yalda's Kabul, where she returned to Afghanistan. Yalda was also a finalist for the Australian Young Journalist of the Year Award and won the United Nations Media Prize for the best Australian television news coverage in 2009. As well as English, Yalda speaks five other languages, including Farsi, Urdu, Hindi, Pashto, and Dari, and is currently learning Mandarin. I sat down with Yalda, or should I say, I had the privilege of sitting down with Yalda 2 weeks ago in London at the BBC headquarters, where we talked Afghanistan, women, and journalism. Enjoy this interview with BBC World News presenter and correspondent Yalda Hakim. Yalda, thank you so much for making the time to chat with me today. So I'll jump right into it. How old were you when you left Afghanistan?
So I was 6 months old when my family fled what was then the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And they migrated from Afghanistan to Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple of years of being in Pakistan, they moved to Australia.
Okay. And are you happy that your family left Afghanistan, although it's your home, it's where you're from, but moved to Australia where you were able to have better opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I frankly consider Australia my home because I spent the bulk of my upbringing there. Afghanistan, I see, is the country of my birth, mm-hmm. and a very special place that I will always have a very strong connection. But my upbringing and my education and my support network are all in Australia. So I do consider Australia my home, and it's not, an irony that Australia is called the land of opportunity. It really is, and it's given me my big breaks and a solid education and a great foundation, so I'm forever grateful.
Wonderful. And did you always aspire to be a journalist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I, from a very young age, I wanted to be a storyteller. I wanted to travel to places and highlight various different issues. Issues around social justice and women's rights were often discussed in my household, so it was something that I was very much aware of. And of course, my family fleeing the Soviet invasion. So when the Soviets left Afghanistan and then the end of the Cold War, these were all significant moments in my family's life because of their journey, and therefore significant in my life.
Yeah, and then it's very interesting that they would discuss women's rights coming from the culture that Afghanistan has towards women. How is that? Were your parents just very liberal?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were incredibly progressive. Both of them are highly educated, middle class, a couple who have three daughters and one boy, and my father, I would consider a feminist, and he very much advocated for us and the importance of having a solid education and for his girls to pursue the line of work, the kind of career that they wanted. He was very much our champion and remains that.
Okay, wonderful. Any advice to people who are aspiring to be journalists? I did not study journalism. I did history and international relations, but I took a short course and fell in love with it. So,
it is, and it's an extraordinary field. And you're sitting here at the BBC newsroom, and you can see just everything that's going on right across the world from all of our correspondents. So it's somewhere I love being. I live and breathe the job, and for me it's not really a job, it's a passion. And it's I think it's really important to remain persistent. It's a tough industry, and you know, you have to remain determined, persistent, motivated, and first and foremost know that you know, the story is the most important thing, and getting it right.
Yeah. And any advice on, do you advise that someone just start a blog or start a vlog, or,
you know, it's funny because in the last my career now spans more than a decade. I started working sort of in as a 19-year-old while I was at university, and then in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. So for more than a decade I've been doing this, and I think the times are very different in that period. You know, social media plays such a huge role. People are able to create a platform for themselves using video and using blogs and things like this. So I think there are so many more opportunities, actually. It was such a closed off industry when I was growing up in Australia, and now it feels like the world has opened up and become much smaller. So I think there are so many opportunities out there for young people, but I would never underestimate the power of doing work experience, you know, reaching out to people in the industry, getting advice. For me, it was it really was about surrounding myself with people who were within the industry and seeking their advice and being motivated and determined to get into this field.
Okay, wonderful. So one time I had a business trip in Toronto, and I spent the whole time watching Al Jazeera, seeing like all the news stations, and I began to be depressed by the end of the week because, you know, this earthquake here, this tragedy here. Does that ever get to you? You're seeing the negative things that are happening around the world.
I mean, I often say that if the work I do doesn't impact me, I'll stop doing it. Mm. I think it's important to always, you know, not become desensitized to what's happening around you, for the work to always sort of impact you. And that is the reason I keep going again and again to some of the most hostile places on earth. Yeah, I mean, you know, sadly good news doesn't necessarily make news, and actually, as much as it feels like globally the situation is grim and there is much more devastation, actually we live in probably the best time in history, and poverty levels are at their lowest. And you know, you could look at a range of statistics that talk about the fact that we are in the best period in history for a range of reasons. And so while we do see so much devastation, I actually always remain quite hopeful and positive as well.
Oh, that's good, because that was my next question. Do you have hope for the future, for the world, for Afghanistan, for women?
Yeah, I do. I think I'm a strong believer that things don't always remain the same, that things evolve and change. And I am hopeful that Afghanistan's fate will change. And I do think that, globally, it feels like things are bad because we have more access to information. And, when something happens, we learn about it very quickly. But actually, I am incredibly positive and hopeful.
Wonderful. Two last questions. As you know, International Women's Day was last week, and I hosted an event at my old uni, and I interviewed Princess Tessie of Luxembourg, and I asked her this question: how can we bring men to the table so that they can feel a part of the discussion on issues that impact women, and then they can help make a change as well?
I think it's incredibly important. You can't have a conversation about equality and gender gaps without men. Mm. They need to be at the table. Mm. And I think we have come to a very positive place, on the back of the Me Too campaign and Time's Up and all these conversations and discussions we're having. How do we turn these conversations into real life action so that it does have lasting impact and change? And I think I often tell people, change comes from within the home. The conversations that you have with your children or with your partner, these sorts of things happen within the home and the community and then, the wider society and then globally. So I think it's really important. There are a lot of great men out there who are champions for women. And I've often said that my career and how far I have come has a lot to do with the role of strong men who have not felt intimidated by a woman coming through the ranks and having a seat at the table.
Like your father being the first man.
Absolutely. Yes. And I've often had very strong male role models in my life. And I think they exist. And it's really important to highlight their important work and presence in the work of women everywhere.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, last question. What would you tell your 16-year-old self?
Don't panic. Breathe. Everything's going to be okay. Enjoy the journey. And work as hard as you did. I spent most of my 20s, all of my 20s, working on night shifts and really kind of pursuing stories and motivating myself and remaining determined to become a journalist, a storyteller, and the best version of that I can possibly be. And I would feel that I would tell my 16-year-old self to just calm down a bit, but remain as driven.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
No, not at all. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for coming by.
I hope that you enjoyed this interview with Yalda Hakim, the World News, one of the World News presenters and correspondents. She's a very kind, down-to-earth woman, and it was inspiring being in the room, the newsroom, seeing all the journalists, BBC World staff at their desks as the world news was going by on computer screens, on TV screens. The news doesn't stop and it keeps going 24/7, and being in that environment was inspiring. Until next time, see you on the next interview. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.